Thank you for being with us today. So I'd like to do something just a little bit different. All of December, we've been talking about the birth of Christ. We saw the angels. Every time we were reading through the scriptures, how the angels were talking to a variety of people. And the wow-ness of it all is pretty profound. Doesn't matter how many times we read the stories, the great gift of Christ coming into the world is marvelous, but everything that took place was just a wow factor. There was a wonder to it. G.K. Chesterton said, "What was wonderful about childhood is that anything in it was a wonder. It was not merely a world full of miracles, it was a miraculous world." Have we lost the wonder that our children still see today? I think this is one of the things that we love so much about children, is that they are born ready to be wowed, to see the delight of the world and the wonder of it. So I'm not going to preach today. I want to share two brief messages, both of them actually in written form. Some of you would recognize the name Chip and Joanna Gaines. Yeah, Fixer Upper. And if you haven't seen the show, it's the story of Chip and Joanna Gaines, who are very, very gifted. They will show a couple three different homes. The couple would choose the home that they're wanting to buy, and that's the last they see it for a while, because Chip and Joanna go in and they completely restore the home. And then there's the day of the reveal. And when you watch the show, all I can think of was the word wonder. A couple, their eyes are so huge, their mouths are open. It's just, wow, wow, we get to live in this place. But you see, children look at the world and say, wow, we get to live in this world. Wow. And every day is a wonder. Have we lost that? Let me share with you a couple of things that happened to Joanna Gaines. Chip and Joanna are very committed Christians. She says this: "It all started with two words, Dear Jojo. At the top of a letter my dad wrote inside the cover of a small Bible he gave me the night before I was leaving for a semester in New York City. He also had my name in Boston gold on the cover. It was my senior year of college and my first time moving away from home, so I was a nervous wreck. This gift from my dad was his way of telling me, Jojo, you've got this. I believe in you. And I," she said, "believed him. I carried that Bible with me in my bag everywhere I went for that entire semester in New York. It was a constant comfort for me. I must have read that note 100 times during those days at school. Years later, after I had long since returned to Waco, Texas, where they live, a friend asked me to borrow this beautiful pocket-sized Bible my dad gave me for her to go on a mission trip. I hesitated. It had become one of my most valued possessions. I turned to it whenever I was feeling anxious or needed to be comforted. It even sat on the countertop of my first little shop. But in the end, I felt silly that I debated with myself sharing a Bible of all things. And I, of course, lent the Bible to her. When my friend returned from her trip, through tears, she told me that she had lost my Bible in Boston. I was devastated, but I could tell that she felt so terrible that I kept it together as best I could. Soon after, I bought an identical Bible and even had my dad write a similar note. But you know, just wasn't quite the same. But it got easier as time went on. A few years later, Chip and I were at a restaurant in town, and a man who had attended the church where I attended when I was younger sat at the table next to us. It was wonderful to see them. He and his wife had moved away to be a pastor of a church in the Boston area. And we were briefly catching up with one another. And then he said, "Jojo, is it okay if I call you Jojo? This may be awkward, and it might be an awkward question, but is that what your dad calls you, Jojo?" She said, "Yes, he calls me Jojo." He said, "You're not going to believe this. I had been teaching a man who was using a Bible embossed with the name Joanna on it. The man said he had found the Bible at a donut shop in Boston when he had been working there, and he had never read the Bible, and he'd been using it, and he always wondered who Jojo was. He even said that he particularly was touched by this handwritten note this father had written to his daughter, and I was frozen with shock and wonder. I had long since given up on getting that Bible back. For me, the wonder was that I had been let in on the plan. I was given the blueprint of the larger picture. Sometimes there is wonder in mystery. Other times it's in understanding. My friend, my pastor friend, ended up mailing my Bible back to me. The fact that my dad's letter, left behind hundreds of miles away, found its way back to me years later, continues to leave me awestruck. I choose not to question it. I choose not to analyze it. I will never say what a coincidence. I have chosen to simply receive the gift, and I stand amazed in wonder. Whenever wonder comes knocking on your door, please choose not to be inconvenienced by it, but to always let it in. It just shows us God continues to give us his gifts. So the brother of Jesus, one of his brothers, James, writes this: "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Or one of my favorite passages in Ephesians 3: "Now to him who is able to give you immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is now at work within you, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout every generation, forever and forever. Amen." In other words, God is saying the wonder that I give is lasting even now in our generation and will last long after our generation. It's the eternal awesomeness of God as he displays his wonder in our life. One more story I want to share with you. If I mention the name Paul Young, does that ring a bell for some of you readers? He wrote The Shack. He wrote Crossroads. He wrote the marvelous novel Eve. But you may not know about his story. He and his wife married at a younger age. They had children, lots of them. They had 6 children. Paul was an aspiring writer, but nothing he wrote ever came to fruition. They were living in a rented home, a 900-square-foot home, pretty small for a husband and wife and 6 children to live in it. He said, we had nothing. I had three part-time jobs just to try and put food on the table. My job early in the morning was to clean toilets. After that was done, I was to work in a warehouse. And then later on in the evening, I worked in a food processing line. One Christmas Eve, after many Christmas Eves, of never really having any gifts for the children, someone slipped an envelope under the front door. It contained five $20 bills. It was enough to pay for a few items that we needed. It was a wonderful gift. It turns out that the person who slipped the money under the door that winter had no idea who we were. It went like this. A man had this nudge that started coming to him early in December. He wasn't sure what it was. He kept dismissing it, but something wasn't quite there until it finally came clear to him. He doesn't know why it did, but it did. It was as if God was saying to him, I want you to give some money to someone who needs it, who really, really needs it. And in his mind, that's what the nudge was all about. One day, this man who was going to do this bumped into a buddy at a Blockbuster store. Remember those Blockbuster where you could go in and rent videos and things like that? And he was telling his friend, this is weird. It's never happened to me. I've got this nudge, and I just kind of think it's somebody who needs some money. But I don't know anyone like that. His friend said, well, I do. And his friend wrote on a piece of paper an address. Never mentioned a name, just an address. And so that evening, this man with an envelope of five $20 bills found that house and slipped it underneath the door and left it at that. Years go by, about a half dozen years travel by, and Paul Young has become a very successful writer after the production of The Shack, and it became a worldwide book, a profound book. And someone decided to do a documentary on the life of Paul Young. And Paul said he agreed to it, and he said, well, it's not really right, because Paul had long moved away from that 900 square foot shack. After writing The Shack, he could live wherever he wanted to live. But they're long gone from that little square, 900 square foot house, but the person doing the documentary said, no, we want to look at your life. We want to go in these different places, and we'll just do a documentary on it. He said, okay. And they were going to this little 900-square-foot house to talk about what it was like back then. And the videographer was going to come and video the whole thing. And at the last moment, he was called away and couldn't be there. So he called a friend of his who was a videographer. And the same thing happened. Just before he was to go, something happened where he couldn't make it. So he called a friend who wasn't really a professional, but could do the video. And so he showed up, pulled up in the driveway. And there's something about this house that looked familiar. You're ahead of me, aren't you? Walked in the door, and there was Paul Young. And he said, Paul, I've got a question for you. You don't know me. It's the first time meeting you. By the way, I loved your book, he said. On such and such a year, did you live in this house? Paul Young said, yeah. On a certain year, did you get an envelope in your front door with five $20 bills in it? He said, I did. He said, that was for me. That was for me. I had no idea who I was giving this money to. And Paul said, you won't believe how that changed our life. $100 wasn't a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but for six kids, it was enough to give them a Christmas. And I've always wondered about who would do this for us. And the man said, it was God. It wasn't my idea. God nudged and said, you know, on Christmas Day, the greatest gift given to all of us was Jesus, who came from God. He was the one who nudged me to give you this money. Who says wonder doesn't happen in our world anymore? Who says God has given up working through people in order to bless other people. When did that ever happen? When did we ever lose the awesomeness? I know because of responsibility, some of us this winter look outside and go, I got a shovel again. And our kids go, all right, I get to make a snowman, I get to do this, and I get to do that. There's a wonder to it. I wonder if we might enjoy making, shoveling the driveway a little better if first we played a little bit first, and then we take some responsibilities. It's this life that was meant to be lived with beauty, wonder, awesomeness, just like it was for the shepherds to hear this great chorus of angelic beings, even though it frightened them, to hear what was happening in the world. Let me conclude with what Paul said. We are surrounded by the enough of wonder, and at no time do we sense its presence more than in the winter and at Christmas. After all, it is a season of other-centered, self-giving love, celebrating a God who would sneak into our world to surprise us, and does so in the cry of a tiny babe, and does so when the Holy Spirit whispers to us, nudges us to bring some wonder into other people's lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonder that you continually pour out to us. May we stop and notice all around us this miraculous world in which you have allowed us to live. The wonder of it. Help us to see the world through the eyes of a child, the marvel, the wonder, and the awesomeness that you give us, especially Jesus, as he continues to be in us, which is the greatest wonder of all. And through Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.